Welcome to African American Voices. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer reader Renee Jenkins. Today we'll be reading from Ebony and Essence as well as Marie Claire magazine. Let's start with an article from Ebony.com. It's entitled, How to Balance Political Discourse and Still Keep Your Cool, by Delana Dixon. Motivational speaker and author Justin Jones Basu shares his tips on talking to people from different political parties. Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, was another big day at the polls, with voters in states like New York, Wisconsin, Arkansas, and others casting their votes in the presidential primary election. While many Black Americans have historically found alignment with the Democratic Party, some voters chose to support a Republican candidate. For some across our community, being part of the Republican Party as a Black American is a move that makes you a supporter of the party's conservative and seemingly racist views. It can lead to heated arguments between family, friends, and that grocery bagger you just found out voted Republican. It's interesting to note that before the 1930s, Black adults were just as likely to support the Republican Party as the Democratic Party. According to the Pew Research Center, this shift began later that decade. It continued to grow after President Harry S. Truman issued an executive order to desegregate the U.S. military in 1948. Along with the passage of the Civil Rights Act under Democratic President Lyndon B. Johnson in 1964. Both presidents were Democrats. In an era where political discourse can often become a minefield, being a Black Republican may come with complexities, especially when engaging in conversations, shares Justin Jones Fasu, the founder of Work, Meaningful, and author of the upcoming book, Respectfully Disagree, How to Have Difficult Conversations in a Divided World, that was released on April 16th. For Black Republicans, dealing with others who may take offense to their choice can be a real sticky situation. Exchanging divergent viewpoints without having someone else succumb to anger and disdain is a challenge in today's politically charged climate. While it's okay to have a difference of opinion, this becomes problematic when those alternative viewpoints are rooted in the oppression and ostracization of Black people. The key to this balance lies in distinguishing the person from the political ideology, Jones Fasu reveals. Instilled in me from a young age from my mother was the conviction that every individual deserves respect, regardless of their beliefs, he says. This foundation has become my mantra. I can vehemently disagree with someone's ideology and yet still passionately pursue their humanity. One proactive approach, Jones Fasu suggests, is the Circles of Grace Challenge. It's a personal initiative where biannually or annually I immerse myself in environments with individuals whose views are unfamiliar or contrary to mine. This practice cultivates empathy and enriches my understanding of the complexities behind different beliefs, especially the reasons underpinning them. He also advises embracing the power of storytelling. In the narratives of others, we often find fragments that illuminate our shared humanity, despite our disagreements. If the distaste for a person's political affiliation is so great that it's disrupting real-life connections, consultation with a therapist can offer profound insights into the nature of our responses. It is a therapeutic reminder that our reactions are choices. And with guidance, we can learn to respond to opposing views with composure and openness. Ultimately, embracing a multiplicity of viewpoints without anger is not just about tolerance, but about nurturing a genuine curiosity and an earnest respect for the shared human experience behind each opinion. Lastly, Jones Fasu First advises that political affiliation is information that doesn't have to be disclosed to the world. Recognize that your vote and political stance are personal, and disclosing them is a choice, not a compulsion, advises Jones Basu, who prefers to keep his affiliation undisclosed. He adds that you can carefully consider whether you wish to share this information and clearly articulate the reasons behind your choice. If you decide to reveal your political status, your approach to discussing your political identity as a Black Republican should be grounded in respect, curiosity, and the desire for genuine dialogue, Jones Basu concludes. This minimizes potential backlash and enriches the discourse with diverse viewpoints. Here are four ways to engage in positive political discussions with someone of another political affiliation, according to Jones Basu. Embrace a learner's mindset. Before diving into your own perspectives, adopt a student approach. Listen actively to others' stories and understand the motivations behind their political leanings. Replace assumptions with questions. Foster understanding by inviting others to tell you more about their views. This shows respect for their opinions and sets a foundation for open-mindedness. Seek permission to engage. Asking if it's acceptable to share your party affiliation in a subtle indicator of your respect for others' viewpoints. This act prepares the ground for a respectful exchange and respects the listener's readiness to engage with different views. Acknowledgement before advocacy. If the listener is amenable, begin by acknowledging their perspectives, expressing gratitude for their openness, such as, "Thank you for sharing your views on the election. I see why these issues matter to you," can create a bridge of mutual respect. And find common ground and practice diplomacy. In discussions, signal areas of agreement to establish common ground. Rather than absolute statements, employ more nuanced language like sometimes or perhaps, which indicates an openness to dialogue. This strategy helps to diffuse potential defensiveness and encourage a more balanced conversation. That article from Ebony.com is entitled, "How to Balance Political Discourse and Still Keep Your Cool," by Delana Dixon. Also from Ebony.com, we have an article entitled, "Mother Earth Needs Us to Listen. These Environmental Anthems Are a Great Way to Start," by Josh Baker. This April, Ebony aims to raise awareness around environmental and sustainability concerns within the Black community and beyond. Through a selection of songs from iconic artists like Sade to Childish Gambino, this playlist is a powerful platform to amplify voices who have boldly advocated for positive change through song. The tracks included speak directly to the urgency of addressing environmental challenges and promoting a more sustainable future, down to social issues within our community. To name a few, Michael Jackson's Earth Song poignantly reflects on the devastation caused by environmental destruction, whereas Marvin Gaye's Mercy, Mercy Me, The Ecology, speaks on the state of the planet and calls for mercy and compassion towards the environment. As Black artists often use their craft to bring life to causes important to them, these songs and many others serve as anthems for the Earth Warriors of today. Upon taking a deep dive into these tunes, the hope is that the melodies and lyrics will inspire action and spark meaningful conversations within the Black community about how we care for our world. A collective commitment to protecting our planet and ensuring a more equitable and sustainable world for future generations requires different levels of action needed. Let these songs start you on your way to sustainability. Michael Jackson, Earth Song. And there is a link to the official song on YouTube. In Michael Jackson's song, Earth Song, he addresses environmental issues. One specific lyric, "What have we done to the world? Look what we've done," highlights the devastation impact of human activity on Earth's ecosystems and serves as a call to action for environmental stewardship. Childish Gambino feels like summer, and there is a link to his song Feels Like Summer on YouTube. Childish Gambino's Feels Like Summer subtly touches on environmental issues, hinting at looming threat of climate change and its impact on the seasons. One specific lyric, "Every day gets hotter than the one before," alludes to the escalating temperatures caused by global warming, underscoring the urgency of addressing environmental concerns. And Louis Armstrong's What a Beautiful World. Again, there is a link to the YouTube video. Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World doesn't explicitly address environmental issues, but its themes of appreciation for nature and beauty can resonate with environmental stewardship. A specific lyric, "I see trees of green, red roses too," highlights the beauty of the natural world, inviting listeners to cherish and protect the environment. Sade's Pearls, again with a link to the YouTube video. Sade's song, Pearls, subtly touches on the exploitation of natural resources and its impact on vulnerable communities. Sade sings, "There's a woman in Somalia scraping for pearls by the roadside." It highlights the harsh reality faced by those living in impoverished regions where environmental degradation contributes to economic hardship and social injustice. Marvin Gaye's Mercy, Mercy Me, The Ecology, expresses concern about pollution and its consequences on the planet. One specific lyric, "Fish Full of Mercury," highlights the contamination of marine life and the harmful effects of industrial pollution on ecosystems. In Mariba's Heat Wave, it confronts the impact of climate change and rising temperature. The lyric, "Trees swaying in the heat wave, pollen dancing in the air," vividly portrays the effects of environmental changes on nature and human health. And while Tupac's Changes primarily addresses social and political issues, its themes of inequality and systemic injustice can intersect with environmental concerns as marginalized communities often bear the brunt of environmental harm. Tupac raps, "We gotta start making changes, learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers," reflecting the call for social transformation and unity, which can also extend to collective action for environmental justice. And Kendrick Lamar, All Right. Kendrick Lamar's All Right includes themes of resilience and hope amidst adversity, which resonates with the need for environmental justice and sustainability. The lyric, "We gonna be all right," serves as a mantra of empowerment and collective action. The OJ's This Air I Breathe explores the importance of clean air and the consequences of pollution. The iconic group sings the line, "Polluted skies, it's hard to breathe," and it highlights the detrimental effects of air pollution on human health. And Stevie Wonder's The Secret Life of Plants delves into humanity's interconnectedness with nature and the need for its preservation. Stevie sings, "Now I understand the secret of the soil as it reflects on the profound wisdom and symbiotic relationship between humans and the natural world," urging listeners to respect and nurture the planet. That article from Ebony.com is entitled, "Mother Earth Needs Us to Listen. These Environmental Anthems Are a Great Way to Start." All are available on YouTube by Josh Baker. Our next article is from Essence Magazine. It's entitled, "Black Love is Bankable. Luxury Event Planners Talk Industry Shifts, Trends for 2024, and the Most Lavish Black Celebrity Weddings They've Orchestrated," by Kimberly Wilson. While the act of marriage is a celebration of love and commitment here in the United States, weddings are also big business, and best believe the multi-billion dollar industry is cashing in on black love. Although 2020 may have seen a decline for the industry with postponements and cancellations related to COVID-19 quarantines, weddings are now returning to pre-pandemic levels. The year 2023 saw 2.24 million weddings in the U.S., up 62% since 2020, according to Zipia, an online job research website, and there seems to be no slowdown in sight. The post-pandemic surge of nuptials is projected to grow to a staggering $413.98 billion industry by 2030, more than double the $160.5 billion spent on weddings in 2020. Not surprisingly, it's all shifting with the times. That means the next few years will not only see an uptick in the number of couples saying their I do's, but also wedding planners, DJs, caterers, photographers, and per-guest counts will all become more expensive. How does an industry centered on love keep the sentiment as the foundation when so many millions of dollars are being spent on these elaborate celebrations globally each year? Well, it's a challenge for sure. Inflation and high demand for wedding services mean the real driver of love from the perspective of weddings is money. The increase in weddings will likely cause the overall prices to rise. Products and services may be in shorter supply. Businesses may become short staffed, and the soaring cost of travel, as well as the general unpredictability of airlines, may threaten to disrupt everyone's plans. Inflation has certainly made us alter our vision a bit for our wedding in order to not exceed our budget, says Jillian Carter, a Washington, D.C.-based May 2024 bride who will be getting married at Casa de Campo Resort and Villas in La Romana, Dominican Republic. Lucky for us, our wedding planners have been able to negotiate better rates on our behalf. Wedding planners are just a percentage of engaged couples' overall budget, but in the era of social media and doing it for the gram, planners are tasked with coming up with concepts that are becoming more and more over the top. Tori Williams, for example, is a world-renowned celebrity event planner, a designer, and co-star of VH1's original series, My Celebrity Dream Wedding. In her line of work, she has produced events for T.I., K. Michelle, Will Packer, former Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, and more. She has seen it all and done it all. On a day-to-day basis, she is managing bigger budgets, longer guest lists, and grandier ideas. The highest budget wedding I've done was near seven figures, says Williams, though she's unable to share the who or the what. Consisted of custom Swarovski crystal chandeliers enclosed by lush white orchids, more than 100,000 fresh florals throughout the ceremony and reception, and an A-list Grammy-winning performer. Hiring a wedding planner is the best investment you can make, she insists. It's like hiring a great attorney to represent you. The planner is there to negotiate for you and make decisions that are in the best interest of the couple. They can make the planning process a stress-free, enjoyable, and memorable experience for the couple. Despite the inevitable bumps that will come as we see the economy continue to shift, couples will continue to plan original weddings that are infused with joyful energy. Luxury wedding planner, floral designer, and entrepreneur Akisha Akinze of Kesh Events identifies three trends that will rule the 2024 destination wedding sphere. Personalized and meaningful endeavors, culturally immersive entertainment, and multi-day celebrations. These extended celebrations allow couples to spend more quality time with their guests and offer a more in-depth and regal experience. With a knack for bringing elegance, creativity, and personalization to every event, Akinze is up for the challenge. Couples are moving away from the traditional and embracing ceremonies and receptions that are true reflections of their unique love stories and preferences, she says. This shift is particularly evident in the realm of entertainment. It's an era that transcends the conventional DJ-only setup. We are witnessing an upsurge in a range of the finest entertainment options, including ceremony choirs, innovative band and DJ fusions, captivating dancers, and enchanting singers. But this isn't just about music. It's about crafting an experience that will linger in the memories of the guests long after the event. For NBA star Tobias Harris and his bride Jasmine Winton, Akinze added a personal touch to a grand event that began even before the guests walked through the door. The Save the Date was a customized wine box complete with an individual bottle with the same level of specific attention carried throughout the wedding itself. Our goal was to craft a unique experience for every part of the wedding celebration, focusing on distinctive entertainment, decor, lighting, and more, says the Chicago-based planner. The spectacular fireworks display was particularly memorable, adding to the grandeur of the event. Each element, each moment of their wedding was intricately woven to not just tell their story, but to celebrate it in a way that was unique as their bond. This wedding, in all its glory, was not just a milestone for the couple, but also a landmark in my career. It symbolized the essence of trust and collaboration and the pursuit of excellence in celebration. While the wedding industry may be shifting, one thing remains. Black love is continuing to thrive, and as long as it does, the industry will continue to bank on it. That article is from Essence Magazine, entitled Black Love is Bankable, by Kimberly Wilson. Our next article is from Marie Claire Magazine. It's entitled Inside the Triumphant Return of The Wiz. The Fame show is back on Broadway, and with it, a dazzling new group of creatives. Before the curtains go up, writer Amber Ruffin gathers the cast to discuss the magic of making the musical, by Quincy Legarde. When The Wiz first arrived on Broadway in 1974, the stage musical starring Stephanie Mills, Hilton Battle, and Andre DeShields introduced a pop culture landmark that would go on to inspire generations of black performers and creatives to dream in Technicolor. The Afro-futuristic adaptation of L. Frank Baum's The Wonderful Wizard of Oz was a bona fide cultural rite of passage thanks to its depiction of joyous liberation told through a soundtrack fueled by gospel and R&B. The way it allowed people of color to see themselves fully represented in fantasy storytelling was a first, even before it was further cemented into history with its 1978 silver screen adaptation starring Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, and Lena Horne. Now, 50 years after its premiere, The Wiz returns to the Great White Way. Writer Amber Ruffin, actress Nichelle Lewis as Dorothy and Deborah Cox as Glinda, scenic designer Hannah Belcher, and costume designer Sharon Davis sat down to discuss their lifelong connections to the musical, the vision it took to remake a classic, and the power of bringing their full selves to creative work. Amber Ruffin says, "We're going to have a round table of some of the most creative minds on the planet, but also my friends. Let's go around and introduce ourselves." Sharon Davis: "When the first play came out, it motivated me to go to school and major in theater. This is my first production for the theater, and people were warning me, 'You're going to see the show over and over and over again, and you're going to get so bored.' Well, I saw it last night, and I'm still not bored. I'm still like a child in there. Every time I see it, there's something different, and it's still so magical." Hannah Belcher says, "I worked with Shell, Williams' director, previously. We are from the same town. We saw this show as little girls in the same theater in Dayton, Ohio. I always say, look what it has inspired two girls in the middle of nowhere to become. So that's how important this musical is." Michelle Lewis says, "I've always felt that Dorothy is me, in a way, because she's gone through so many things that all black women and men and people of color have gone through in life. She's always resonated with me. At the end of the whole show, when I sing home, it's something that I can relate to so much." Deborah Cox says, "When I first saw the show, it blew my mind that you could actually dream and be whimsical and funny and not have to worry about fitting into a box. I felt like, wow, that's me, because I'm the weird one in my family. I've always been that animated, crazy child, but very shy to sort of display that on stage. The idea of playing a character that was going to give me license to be crazy was wonderful. Amber, I want to know, how do you make sure to honor the legacy of The Wiz while still putting your own spin on it and making sure it's updated? Where was the line between staying true to the material and also building your own legacy? Hannah, for me, it came in the evolution of black culture. That was my guideline to how this show should be evolved from where it was. The first musical, when you look at the story and the aesthetic of it, was way ahead of its time. So it's like, how have we evolved as a community since then? Where are we now as far as aesthetic? How can I pay homage to the specific musical and also to the history of black culture and the black community? I wanted it to be beautiful and bright and take people's imaginations, because that's what it did for me. It took my imagination and it really informed who I became. I'll never forget Stephanie Mills. I could not believe there was a black woman up there on this stage and everyone was looking at her and applauding. It was just pure magic. At 7 years old, that changes you on a molecular level. That opens you up to know that there's possibility. We say a lot, if you see it, you can be it. But if you can feel it, you can be it. I wanted to bring that out. Amber, Deborah and Nichelle, when you found out you were going to play Glinda and Dorothy, what was that part in your brain that you had romanticized and then finally got to do on stage? Nichelle, the part that excites me the most is picking up all my friends, like the Scarecrow, the Lion, and the Tin Man. The boys are such jokesters, and they always do different things every night. It's always something new and exciting. Deborah, I was most excited with He's the Wiz, because originally Glinda never sang any other songs outside of Believe in Yourself. I always felt like Glinda's presence is hope and faith. She's everything that you want to be in your heart, and she's manifested through Dorothy's belief. During He's the Wiz, there are moments where there's a call and answer with the cast. Working with Joseph Jobur, the music supervisor, I felt like that was a moment to really add camaraderie and display all the different types of jazz, because we hit on different styles of music. That is the moment that I really take pleasure in, just being playful with Dorothy to help her come outside of herself. Believe was always a given, which meant really connecting with Dorothy and the audience and the essence of the show, which is, at the end of the day, you always have everything that you need in you to do whatever it is that you dream about. And we will pause there and continue this article next time. That article is from Marie Claire magazine, entitled Inside the Triumph Return of The Wiz. The famed show is back on Broadway, and with it a dazzling new group of creatives. Before the curtains go up, writer Amber Ruffin gathers the cast to discuss the magic of making the musical. By Quincy Legarde. And that's all the time we have today for African American Voices. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer reader Renee Jenkins. This program is available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org. Have a great Earth Day.